music played by weed-friendly people, you should check us out here at 420 Radio, starting at 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, where we kick off our five-hour music block. You get 2 hours of the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, including two live interviews tonight, one in each hour. That's pretty phenomenal. Followed by Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink coming up at 10 o'clock Pacific. He's got Funkin' That Disco Scene starting up tonight. We're going to have deep disco funk tracks going on at 10 o'clock tonight. So lace up them roller skates. We're going to have a good time. Then at 11 o'clock, we follow that up with the deep house, trance, and dubstep music of Electric Bob's Boogaloo at 11. Followed at midnight by the soulful sounds of Gordon Green's Music Planet. Lots of Irie world music for you. Really cool rhythms. Interesting stuff. And then we slow everything down, get you all wound down with our final show, 1 o'clock in the morning, the New Viper Hour. The best of early 20th century blues, jazz, swing, and big band music from the progenitors of our cannabis culture. People like Cab Calloway, Gene Krupa, Louis Prima, and of course, Louis Armstrong. That's coming up tonight, starting at 10 o'clock, or starting at 8 o'clock Pacific. And if you miss any of it, you can do the same thing Saturday night. Catch replays of all those shows at 8 o'clock Pacific time. Our music shows appear throughout the weekdays at 8 p.m. Pacific time, Monday through Friday. So every day you can get a dose of some of your 420-friendly music. All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. And want to follow up on a story we've been covering on and off throughout the past couple of weeks. You may have seen a lot of headlines lately about people being taken to the hospital for overdoses of what they call synthetic marijuana. And it's a really bad term because it's inaccurate, right? What they're talking about are things like spice, K2, things that are called synthetic pot, but they're really synthetic cannabinoids sprayed on herbs of some sort. So the vegetable matter you're getting isn't synthetic, and it's a plant of some sort, but it's, you know, who wants to smoke some unknown mystery plant, right? The synthetic cannabinoids are these molecules that are almost the same as THC, but slightly different. See, what happens is that the government declares that marijuana is illegal, can't have natural THC. But any chemist can take and perform all sorts of chemical tricks to switch a bond here or there, to flip a molecule here or there, to make a little tweak so that, technically speaking, this new molecule is not the molecule that is banned. Now, originally these synthetic cannabinoids were invented by John W. Huffman, and that's why a lot of them you'll hear will start with a JWH, like JWH-018 was one of the first ingredients that was found to be sprayed on these synthetic pot samples. But what happens is once these samples get out, once these new cannabinoids get out into the marketplace, governments start banning them. State governments and the federal government say, oh, well, that molecule's illegal now. So the chemists go back to the lab, they make another tweak, and now they got a new molecule. Then it takes a while, and the government gets caught up, and they ban that molecule, and so the chemists go make another molecule. It's this constant sort of arms race between how fast can the chemists come up with the new chemical, and how fast can the legislatures then ban it. And you would think, like, some people have said, well, why don't they just ban anything that's like pot? But it doesn't quite work that way. Because then you could take them to court and say, well, what does like pot mean? And then you'd have to specify what that means. And the only way you can specify that is either by its chemical makeup, its molecular construction, or by the effects it has on some people. But if you went down that road, then there might be all sorts of other unintended consequences about what you had just banned. So now it appears as though authorities have some handle on what's been going on lately, because while there have been these K2 spice kind of epidemics before, Usually what they're related around is, and by the way, why are people taking the K2 spice? Well, other than that marijuana is illegal, obviously, and these things aren't, but also because of drug testing. Just as the chemical constituency, the molecular build of a certain molecule produces a certain type of metabolite. And the drug tests detect those metabolites or those molecules. And so, again, when you tweak that molecule a little bit, the drug test no longer catches its metabolite. So, in a perverse sense, we've incentivized people to take these unknown synthetic cannabinoids because they won't lose their job. They won't lose their scholarship. And what I fear has happened now is kind of a parallel to what we're dealing with antibiotics. You know about how we now have these superbugs, these antibiotic-resistant infections now, because we use so many antibiotics that the infections started to mutate, develop resistance to the antibiotics. So we threw some new antibiotics at them, and they developed resistance to that. So we threw some new ones at them, and they developed resistance to that. And before you know it, we're out of antibiotics. And now we've got infections that, you know, staph infections, MRSAs, and things like this, that before we could kill real easy, but now they're killing people. So similarly, I think we got a situation with this synthetic cannabinoids where all the low-hanging fruit, the easy molecular tweaks, if you will, have been taken, have all been done and all been banned. And now they're starting to get to some of these tweaks that are more and more and more dangerous. Keep in mind that these synthetic cannabinoids, when they were first developed for legitimate purposes, they were developed for research. They were developed because, you know, Schedule I drug, it was hard for a researcher to get a hold of actual THC. So you could make this synthetic version that, for the purposes of tests, would probably do just fine. And the other aspect that these things are created specifically to engage our cannabinoid receptors at a much more intense experience. I'm being careful about my words because I don't want to say rate, because I don't think rate is the right word. I had it explained to me by a biologist who was talking way over my head, but it has to do with something called a gap, a synaptic gap, like how close or how intense does this molecule trigger this receptor? And then he says, saying something like the gap on natural was, I don't know, I can't even remember the numbers, but the natural gap was like, you know, 5, 10, 20 times greater than these synthetic gaps. That these synthetic gaps are so small that it was like 300 times the molecule or something like that. I don't have the details. I'm not a molecular, you know, biologist or anything like that. But the main point is, if you want to just kind of put it in layman's terms, synthetic cannabinoids turbocharge those receptors. Like where if natural pot is just, you know, tickling the receptor, these synthetic cannabinoids are a punch in the face. Okay? So there's a massive difference in how it works on the receptor level. That's why you get these stories of people who, even if they're longtime pot smokers, even if they can smoke you under the table, they do just a little bit of this K2 stuff and have all sorts of terrible effects. For one, they haven't developed the tolerance to that particular molecule, but for two, that particular molecule is designed to kick ass and take names. And the reason why is because back in the lab, they didn't have years to wait to see how these things are going to play out. So if you turbocharge that molecule, you can get years worth of research done in months. That's kind of the explanation I was given. But now I think what we're at is a situation where we've used all the simple tweaks, and now we're doing these more complex ones that are having far greater circumstances, far greater effects on the people using them. And lately, what we've been hearing is a skyrocketing of people going in for synthetic cannabinoid overdoses. Poison control centers nationwide reported 359 cases in January, 273 cases in February, 269 cases in March, and 1,500 cases in April. Over 1,500 cases in April. So like 8 times or 7 or 8 times the monthly number of cases came in April. And now health officials think they figured out what's the culprit here. A potential common link in the spike is a compound called MAB-CHMINACA. Mab-Chiminaca. I guess. So you're not even taking, you're not even using smoking weed anymore at that point, right? You're now it's alphabet soup. Mab-Chiminaca is the particular molecule in this case. And they're finding this in the tests of the synthetic marijuana that they've seized in many states. Many, many states. Mab-Chiminaca, and I'm reading from McCall.com. Mab-Chiminaca is relatively new and hasn't been banned in many states or by the federal government. A similar compound, Ab-Chiminaca, emerged in the illicit drug market last year and was declared an illegal controlled substance in January under a temporary order by the Drug Enforcement Administration. There you go. That's exactly what I'm telling you, right? Ab-Chiminaca gets banned in January. By April, they've got Mab-Chiminaca out on the shelves. And it's poisoning people 8 times the number of people. Or at least 8 times the number of people are reporting into these centers, I should say. So this, to me, shows us why it is so critical to legalize the natural THC. Give people the least harmful option. Don't fire them or require drug tests of them for their marijuana use. Take away the incentives to want to use something like Mab-Chiminaca and just go back to the natural herb.